Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. As always, we thank you for listening to this program and to American Family Radio. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Lot to talk about today. You want to give us a little preview?
Yeah, we're going to continue talking about America Cannot Wait. It's a campaign, one-day campaign, today only. We'll tell you folks more about that. It's been going on across our platforms, but today is the day for radio. We're going to be having three gentlemen from Ephesians 4:12.org talking about reviving America through evangelism.
What's the name of their ministry?
Ephesians 4:12, 412, just the numerals. That's the name of their organization and their website. And then next hour, Dr. Michael Brown, who's host of The Line of Fire with Dr. Michael Brown. We're going to be talking about FBI Director James Comey's verdict on Hillary Clinton. I think maybe even some stuff about Dallas, Texas, and all that's been going on.
I've never heard of a ministry. Have you heard of a ministry just using a Bible verse?
No, I think we've had them on before. We've had them on before, yeah. I think. I'm not sure I have either on that.
Yeah, I just wonder if somebody else wanted to claim it.
Well, it's too late now. Now you've got a problem with between Christians. See,
that's what I'm saying.
Strife in the body.
You go to man's court to decide who gets Ephesians 4:12. If that should happen,
you can't own it. It's a Bible verse.
I'm just kidding.
John 3:16 okay. Ministries. Nobody else is allowed to use it.
Okay, just wondering aloud. Hey, yesterday we were having Miracle Monday. Not that miracles can't happen on other days. We were having Miracle Monday here on American
Family
Radio.
We're pretty strict with our miracles.
And Jim Stanley was sitting in for you because you were not here.
Right.
And at one point, Jim said, "Hey, our next call comes from Memphis, Texas. Go ahead, caller." And I forgot what the caller's name was. And I interrupted at that point, thinking Jim was in error.
Right.
Because I said, "Jim, there is no Memphis, Texas. Our call screener is typed in X instead of N."
Right.
"It should be Memphis, Tennessee." Well, it was Memphis, Tennessee, but then later that day we learned there is, in fact, a Memphis, Texas. And we heard from Joella Pate, who works for the Chamber of Commerce there. And she's on the phone with us right now from Memphis, Texas. How you doing, Joella?
How are you?
This is Tim and Ed.
Tim is the one you want to speak to, with whom you want to speak.
Right, right. Where is Memphis, Texas?
Memphis, Texas is in the southeastern panhandle between Amarillo and Dallas on U.S. Highway 287.
Okay. Yeah, I know where you are. Now, what happened yesterday? How did you get involved? You weren't listening to our program. How did you get drawn into this controversy?
I had a gentleman from Houston call and said he was listening to your program.
Yes.
And you made the statement there was no Memphis, Texas, so he Googled it, and sure enough there was, and he called me, and we talked for about 30 minutes, and he said, "Would you mind just letting them know that there is a Memphis, Texas?" And I said, "No, I'll do something." So I sent an email.
So what's your job there?
Well, right now I am the office manager at the Memphis Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
So you not only wanted to correct an error, but you wanted to let people know, our listeners, 38 states, 194 stations, almost 200 stations, you wanted to let them know there is a Memphis, Texas, and if they're ever traveling on U.S. Highway 287 between Dallas and Amarillo, you want them to stop in and see the fine folks in Memphis, Texas, right?
You bet.
What can we do there? If I bring my family on vacation to Memphis, Texas for a week, what am I going to do?
Well, you could go swimming if you came during the summer.
All right. Not in the winter, though.
If you came in September, the third Saturday of September, we have what's called our Hall County Picnic and Reunion.
That's coming up.
You're what county?
We're in Hall County.
Hall. So you got your Hall County. Okay, our September. All right, I'll keep that in mind. What else we got? What else? Anything else? Where do I eat there?
It's a fine community, though.
I know. Give me.
We have a wonderful Mexican food place.
Okay.
We have a Rock Inn Cafe that serves just about anything you would want.
Okay.
We have a little Ivy Tea Room serves wonderful sandwiches and soups. And
awesome.
Also a gift shop.
Hey, you are a good spokesperson for Memphis, Texas. Joellen, you're a good sport, too, by coming on this program. When we heard from you yesterday, I said, well, just ask Joella to come on since we've said that she doesn't exist.
That's right.
She can prove to us that, in fact, Memphis, Texas does exist.
I have
exist.
A printout from the Chamber of Commerce right in front of me.
Yeah, they're a real place.
Yeah.
But listen, go ahead, Joella.
Well, I'm going to take 1 minute just to tell you how Memphis got its name.
Yes.
A Reverend J.W. Bryce that worked in Houston at the General Land Office got a letter back that was addressed to Memphis, Texas, that said no such town in Texas. And so Reverend Bryce, he just jumped on that and he named the town Memphis, and in 1906 that's when Memphis actually got its name.
Okay. Well, what is the website for your city there?
For the chamber. The website is all in small letters, MemphisTXChamberOfCommerce.com.
Well, Joella, thanks for being on with us, and appreciate it very much. And you have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, when we make a mistake, we set things right.
We manned up right there.
And I appreciate you sharing with the world that Jim Stanley was the one who made the mistake yesterday. Was it Jim Stanley that made the mistake?
Yeah, he said, well, it was kind of, I wasn't totally wrong. I mean, because the caller was from Memphis, Tennessee.
So you were right about that. That was just a misspell.
I was right about that. I bent my head over to look at the call screen because Jim said from Memphis, Texas, and I said, he's got to be wrong. It said Memphis, Texas, and I said, no place exists.
Yeah.
Memphis, Texas.
The uproar that you created amongst the fine folks.
It spread like wildfire. over Texas, and I thought the only fair thing to do is have Joella Pate on from the Chamber of Commerce, because she emailed us and said, we're real. We're real people here.
Yeah, and we have feelings.
We have feelings.
Tim,
we want you to stop and shop.
Yeah.
Good to talk
to her. She was a good sport.
All right, tell us about this campaign we got going on. This one-day campaign.
Yeah, well, Tim, you know better than anybody, you know, for years, 25 years, American Family Radio has been in existence. And for many of those years, we kind of peaked at, you know, 190-something stations in 38 states, and we just kind of sat there because it was so expensive to get new stations, so much red tape. But then last year, and this year, God has just kind of dropped in our lap an opportunity to expand American Family Radio. So we are asking people across all our platforms. AFA Journal readers have been reading about this. One News Now, our monthly letter we send out. Today is the day we let our listening audience know on American Family Radio. We have the opportunity to reach an additional 2.5 million people, folks. The new stations we're talking about are in Baton Rouge and New Orleans, Louisiana, Corpus Christi, Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, Huntsville and Montgomery, Alabama, and Memphis, Tennessee. And we are asking people to support this effort. The people who are listening right now on American Family Radio are listening because someone in the past helped put that station on the air. So the way for you to give, this is just one day only for our AFR listeners.
So it's one day.
One day is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. You can go to AFR.net if you want to give online. We're calling it America Cannot Wait 2.0. Together we will be heard.
So if what we're asking folks is for a one-time gift today.
Right. And Tim, if they give $10 or more, they receive what we're calling the Patriot Pack, which is a set, five-copy set of A Time to Speak, which is the documentary film that American Family Studios made 2 years ago. And that is a film, a documentary, 1 hour long in length, that documents the threats, the growing threat to religious liberty. The reason it's five copies for a gift of $10 or more is we want folks to give it away. You know, we want, because that's what kind of what AFA does.
For $10, we'll send them five copies of the DVD?
Right.
Or $10 or more.
$10 or more. We're hoping folks will give more, you know. But
so basically what this amounts to, folks, is we are expanding American Family Radio, and we need the money to do it.
Right.
Am I right?
That's right. And so it's a one-day opportunity for our AFR listeners.
I'll tell you something. We've already, so you mentioned, here are the areas that we're expanding in. And so two or three of these we've already expanded in. Okay, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, check. We've already turned that one on. Okay, New Orleans, that's coming up, Lord willing.
Right.
And we have the money. Corpus Christi, that's coming up. I don't know how many people live there in Corpus Christi, but it's a nice-sized area.
Yes.
Jacksonville, Florida, that's big. That's probably a top 20 market nationally.
Right.
There's a lot of people live in Jacksonville, Florida, and we want to turn that station on when we have the money. Lexington, Kentucky, same thing. Well, that's coming up. That's a nice-sized area. Huntsville, we've already got that on. That's on the air at, I was just told where that was on. Oh, here we go. Huntsville is on at 93.7 FM.
Okay.
So if you have somebody that lives in Huntsville, 93.7 FM. We just upgraded the power there. And then, let's see, where else?
Montgomery.
Montgomery, that's coming up.
Both of those cities in Alabama.
And Memphis. We've already turned Memphis on within second station there. We've already got AFR Talk, now we got Urban Family Communication. So the point is that we are expanding American Family Radio. The more people... There are so many people that are already Christians out there, but their heads are in the sand.
Right.
Okay? They don't know what's going on in the country.
Yeah, I mean, they're busy raising their families and doing whatnot, things that we all have to do, we spend our time doing, but they don't know what's happening in the country.
Right.
Many of them are shocked.
Right, or in the world.
Right.
And what we bring at American Family Radio is a comprehensive biblical worldview to life and to the issues of the day. So many people write us and say, hey, I already went to church, but I had no clue till AFR came on the air what was going on in the country. And now I'm educated. Now I'm informed. Now I'm engaged. Now I can make a difference. So anyway, praise the Lord that He uses us in that way. So if you want to make a one-time gift of $50 or $100 or more, whatever you want to do to help us put those stations on the air that I just mentioned and more, we want to put more on, but you can't do things if you don't have the money to pay for them. I guess you can, but you get in trouble.
frown on that.
It's not a biblical way of doing things.
Right.
Here's our phone number to make a one-time gift to help us do what I've just described here. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Or go online at afr.net. AFR.net, all the information. You can make a pledge there online at AFR.net, very simply. You can do that. Yeah, I mean, some ministries over the years, we've known them, they go and build something or buy something, and then they get into debt, and then they want people to bail them out.
Right.
Huh? Hey, you've seen that happen before.
I have.
And that's the wrong way to go about it.
Right.
You should not do that. You should pay for it as you go or have a plan.
Right.
At least to pay for things. But don't go get in debt and then say, want people to, you want to have a fire sale for people to bail you out.
Right.
My dad used to say, if you have to beg for money every month, then you need to go out of business.
Well, that's true. If you I'm have not going to argue with your dad
you
on that
beg,
one.
If you have to beg for money every single month, it's time to shut her down.
Right.
Okay, because you're not doing something right.
Yes.
So we're just going to beg for money this month.
Just once a year for
yes.
the capital
just
funds
just this
campaign.
Month, we're begging for money. Not every month, so we're not going to shut it down. All right, there you go. You're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to welcome our next guest?
Yes, we have some gentlemen in studio from Ephesians 4:12 is the name of the ministry. Now, I have three names on my paper, but I've got two guys in here.
Let them introduce themselves.
Yeah, introduce yourselves, please.
Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey.
You're lying. Yeah. You're lying. You've got this your whole life. I know you poor fella.
Your whole life.
Right. If I ever need a way to raise funds, I can always
Paul
go
Harvey,
name
you tell the rest of the story.
I tell you what, Paul Harvey, you used to get a nice little paycheck for speaking. You might want to consider that.
Well, if this preaching gig doesn't work out, I'll consider that.
Just go around the country, tell them you're Paul Harvey, and you'll be glad to speak for $20,000 a pop.
I have a feeling you don't consider it a
Where are you from,
preaching
Paul?
Gig. But.
Well, we're in Huntsville, Alabama. You just
okay.
mentioned that
yes,
you've
Huntsville.
Increased the power in our town, so we appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. So you're in Huntsville. What do you do there?
Well, actually, I work at Huntsville Hospital.
Okay.
Practice anesthesia. So
that's your day job.
I have a day job, and
you
then
practice anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of thing you really want to practice?
It would get better all the time.
Shouldn't you have that kind of set before you start doing that?
Sure, we've had a little bit of experience in it, but it's getting better every day.
By the way, I do want to say that we've just increased the power to the radio station.
He just said that.
Yeah, but he said we increased the power to Huntsville. I just wanted to make clear.
Oh, okay.
It's just the radio station that we've increased the power. The rest of Huntsville is on its own.
We're not paying that energy bill.
Yeah.
All right, Brother Paul, good to have you with us. And?
Mark Williams.
Mark
Williams.
You also from Huntsville?
Yes, I am.
Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Do you practice surgery or practice anything else like that? Or
No, I practice kitchen remodeling.
Kitchen remodeling, okay.
Really?
Almost got it down.
Also something you want
to
So
have. We might see you on HGTV one day, right?
Maybe.
You're going to get your own show? We watch that channel. My wife makes me watch it.
My wife makes me do
it's part of being, it's part of being married. There's no two TVs aren't out in the patio, so I have to watch that.
That's true.
Tiny houses. I can name them all.
That's actually fun TV to
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty interesting. But, I mean, after you watch 3 hours of remodeling houses, it's time to move on.
True.
Well, let's talk about why you guys are here, your ministry. Talk about it, brother. Somebody talk
yeah,
about
Mark's
it.
Mark's pointing my direction.
It's radio.
He's our leader. He's our leader.
Okay, somebody's got to talk here.
Well, here's
Paul,
the issue.
Go ahead.
We're in the Bible Belt. We have a culture we live in that's continually exposed to some kind of Christian teaching, and yet Mark and I are examples of people who were raised in church and yet came to a realization that the majority of people we come in contact with don't know Christ, are not born again, do not know what the gospel is, and the biggest example of that would be me, raised in a church and didn't know what it meant to know Christ. And when God was very gracious enough to bring himself to me to show me the knowledge of his son, he led us to start talking to other people about that. And so we went out and made mistakes, lots of mistakes, trying to learn how to share our faith with other people. You had Ray Comfort on just the other day talking about his ministry, and he was a catalyst for us as far as learning how to share the gospel biblically and effectively.
He's great.
And so to that end, God's been very gracious to give us opportunities in our town to do a lot of public evangelism. And public evangelism is something that, quite honestly, shocks a lot of people. They think that the gospel is something that stays in the walls of your church. And what we've come to realize, of course, is the Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we go and we reason in the marketplace, if you will, with people every day, trying to make Christ's name known in our town.
Do you kind of do the same approach as Ray Comfort with starting with the laws of God and that kind of way of the master approach?
Yeah, we have a premise or a principle, I should say, and that's what Ray would also tell you as well, is that the principle is that God's law humbles people and the gospel is the healing power, the bringing the grace of God in their life. And so, yeah, we do try to go that direction as well. I think for every one of us, however, the biggest ministry we have is to our family first and then to the people we come in contact with every day. And then God has led us to actually go out into the public square and take what I would call a bold step. And our ministry is actually designed to equip and encourage other Christians to share their faith in whatever context God puts them in.
What are you doing in Tupelo?
Talking to you.
Oh, you came over here just for this interview?
Yes.
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 Wow. I'm impressed.
Well,
we've got 6 minutes left here. They drove a long way for this.
Well, maybe we can keep them after the break for a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, what do you do with them? What do you do with the ministry, Mark?
I go out with Paul, and we hand out tracts. We witness. We do some open-air preaching. And
Let me just kind of leapfrog off what Paul was talking about and ask you, Mark, because now I'm originally from the north.
Nashua.
Nashua, New Hampshire.
Really?
Where I never—
went to school in Derry.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You're from a fellow— No, we got to keep them
Where's
longer.
Derry compared to Nashua?
What about 40 minutes away?
Yeah.
Yeah, graduated.
Did you guys, maybe your paths crossed somewhere.
Well, I graduated in 76. When did you graduate?
81.
81. Yeah. So
wow. 5 years.
As usual, I'm the oldest guy in the room. So, well, let me ask you, Mark, and we got to talk some, some hockey or something afterwards, but do you find, I never heard the gospel until I was almost 20 years old growing up. My impression has been is everybody thinks they know Jesus down here in the Bible Belt. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me, and I want to see if this is right or wrong, this impression, it seems to me more and more people in the South don't know anything about the gospel. You know, they don't, and a lot don't know anything about salvation. You'd think the Bible Belt that everyone would at least know the plan of salvation, for example, or how you become a Christian. But I increasingly come across people who go, well, I don't really know any of that. Is that what you see, or am I mistaken?
No, we see that a lot, and I agree with you. We were talking about that on the way down here. A lot of people, you think, you know, this is the United States, it's Alabama, the Bible Belt, that they hear the gospel, but there's so many different versions of the gospel and watered-down versions and prosperity versions that a lot of people haven't heard the true gospel. And like you, I myself didn't hear it until I was 34. You know, I grew up in church and was a professing Christian and thought I knew the Lord, and it wasn't until I took one of Ray Comfort's class, and Paul was teaching that class, where God just broke me before the law and showed me my sin, and I was born again and surrendered to Christ, and my old life just...
Were how old?
I was 34 at the time, 35.
How old were you, Paul? You said you grew up in church.
37.
37. Now, did both of you grow up in church here in the South?
No, I grew up back east.
Okay. And I'm from South Mississippi.
South Mississippi.
Right. Yeah, so we're up north for him.
Yeah.
So this is
up north. Paul, right now, we're Yankees.
It's cold up here to me.
So 34 and 37, you both grew up in church. Was there something... I know you want to be careful here because some people may know where you went to church. We don't necessarily want to insult anybody, but were you just hardening your heart to the gospel? Did you just not hear the gospel? Was it not presented in an effective way?
I think
Paul, you first, then Mark?
I think we can very easily be inoculated to the gospel. If you're exposed to just a little bit of a medicine, it's not actually going to help you. It's simply going to make you actually more resistant to the treatment.
Like antibiotics.
Exactly. And I think for us in a gospel-saturated culture, unless it's continually proclaimed in its full effect from the pulpit, then people can become hardened, if you will, inoculated against it. They can have an attitude of, I've already heard this. And I've seen people in my churches that we do an evangelism outreach. They say, what are you doing? We're sharing this message and tell them the message. And this is a person who's in ministry and says, I've never heard that before. And I think, wow, how long have you been in ministry? And I don't mean
that. You mean they are ministers?
No, I mean they're actively involved in some kind of ministry aspect of the church, okay. Whether it's ladies' ministry or men's ministry.
So. What do they think they're doing?
Well, that's the great question, and that's why we feel like our ministry is very helpful to continue to promote the true, full gospel of God to everyone in and out of the church.
What's the website, Paul?
Ephesians4.12.org.
And that's the numeral, 4:12.
Yes.
Ephesians4.12.org.
So it's not 4:12?
No, 4:12.
So can you guys hang around after the break for just a few minutes?
Sure.
So Ephesians4:12.
.org.
.org.
And we're on Facebook as well.
So you want people to like you.
And you can simply get information about us, and we'll send you information to help you. And if you want to like us in the process, that's great.
Okay. Just liking the webpage. So that was a good answer, Paul. It was almost a politician-type answer.
Paul.
Harvey.
Paul Harvey's our guest. Yes. We're not kidding. And... Mark, his buddy Mark Williams, both from Huntsville, Alabama, and we're talking about witnessing. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll continue to inform listeners.
I don't know anybody who's ever been pulled over for driving while gay.
Encourage Christians to make a difference.
Our encouragement to folks is to find some help to, in a Christian way, deal with the temptation. Amen.
And equip you to help restore the moral foundations of our nation.
It's the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekdays at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR or online at AFR.net.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right. It was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. A pair of deputy sheriffs in Shelby, North Carolina, dropped by a Zaxby's the other day, wanted to order some chicken. What they got was a side order of taunting and insults. The wife of one of the deputies took to Facebook and complained, said two of the workers started yelling at the men, calling them names. Sheriff Alan Norman confirms to local news reporters the incident occurred. Zaxby says they are conducting an internal investigation, profusely apologized to the deputies. Now, just so you know, the Zaxby's involved is independently owned and operated. The sheriff's department seems to be satisfied with the apology, said they can't judge an entire restaurant based on a few bad apples. Well, that's mighty generous of the sheriff's department. But if I'm ever in Shelby, North Carolina, I'll probably order my chicken fingers someplace else. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. American Family Radio, that's what you're listening to. We have a couple gentlemen in studio with us from Huntsville, Alabama, Paul Harvey and Mark Williams. And these fellows are with Ephesians 4:12 Ministries. And the purpose is to witness to people so that they come to salvation.
Correct.
Pretty fundamental to
right, and to equip other believers. That's where our name came from. People would use Ephesians 4:11 to us, and they'd say, "Oh yeah, you've got the gift of evangelism. You know, God gave some people gifts: pastors, teachers, evangelists." And we would remind them, "Yeah, Ephesians 4:12 says He gave those gifts so that we could equip you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry." So right. Our goal is to equip other believers to actually do the work.
You had mentioned though. You guys were talking about the messages that are going out under the banner of Christianity today are often lacking, to say the least, on a complete gospel message.
Yeah, they're incomplete, if you will call it that. Come to Jesus because of a particular issue you're having. Come to Jesus because of your financial problems. Come to Jesus because you don't have peace. Which, of course, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, all of these things are fruits of the Spirit of God. And yet, we want people to recognize you come to Christ because you desperately need a Savior.
Right.
And you need forgiveness. And you will receive all of these fruits, but the premise is...
He'll bless you with the money and cars and vacations and a good life. Am I right, Paul?
I'm waiting.
Yes, I was just going to say the too. Same thing. I've been a Christian since I was almost 20.
Y'all aren't watching the same preachers on TV I'm watching. These things are promised in the Bible.
I do recognize that eyes have never seen and ears have never heard, nor has ever been imagined in the heart of a man, those things that await us. And I can imagine a lot. Yet we recognize, of course, that that's the gifts of being with the Father, being with in His presence, being in His eternal kingdom.
Well,
fullness of joy.
Here's the Mark. I'll talk to you for just a minute about this because you're a I mean, you came to the Lord.
Yes.
Through Paul, right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
His glasses.
What is it about what Paul told you? I'm familiar. Well, Ray Comfort's been a friend forever, and I'm familiar with his method that you guys employ, which is the biblical method, is what you would say. So he didn't copyright it or anything. This, you know, this is. But what was it? So, Mark, you're saying that you had to come to the realization that you were a sinner.
Yes, I did.
That is not very popular to tell people today.
No, it's not at all. And I grew up, you know, in the church I grew up in, it emphasized God's love, and you need to get around, and you need to stop sinning, you need to do this and toe the line. And so I grew up with regret all the time, but it wasn't until I got in Paul's class and Ray Comfort's principle he's talking about, where I realized that God is holy and God is righteous, and I'm not. I'm a sinful person. And He requires perfection, and His law that Ray uses emulates His perfection. It's the mirror of God, His character, and my character is woefully lacking. And I thought I had some of my own righteousness, my own goodness, and when I realized that, you know, God
is holy. How did it happen? What did you do?
We were taking the class, and I was just watching an interview that Ray Comfort did, and we started talking about, you know, why God's law exists and what sin is and in the proper context and how it's in everybody and we can't get rid of it. And God is holy and righteous and cannot see sin in His sight whatsoever. And the only way you can get around that is the righteousness of Christ, because He paid that price.
Yeah, but Paul, we're not under the law.
Absolutely, you're right.
So why did the law convict?
Well, it was
Mark?
A mirror. It showed me. Why do you look in the mirror when you wake up in the morning? To make sure that your face isn't messed up before you go out in public, right?
Yeah.
Well, the mirror of God's law showed me that that is His character. The law exists because it's a reflection of God's character. And when I realized that, and realize that, you know, it's not just a bunch of rules, and God's character is perfect and holy.
But what does it mean, Paul, to not be under the law?
Well, we're actually under the law of Christ.
Right.
And so what we realize is, number one, Jesus, as God and fully man, never broke God's law. He always fully kept it. And yet, why did He do so? He did so to fulfill all righteousness, to bring us the righteousness that we need. The law shows us we are not righteous. So when we say we're not under the law, what that means is we're not a law unto ourselves. It doesn't mean that we're not expected to live a life of holiness. What it means is that the law cannot make us holy. Christ makes us holy. And as a result of that, we will want to live under the law of Christ, which is we will want to obey Him and to
It's always Him. It's kind of, sometimes the Christian language needs explaining because mm-hmm. We're now been set free of our sin, right?
Right.
But then you read the next page and we're bondservants of Christ.
Right.
So are we bondservants or are we free?
Yeah, you were called to freedom, brothers, but do not use your freedom as an excuse for lawlessness.
Right.
I mean, you know, read Galatians.
The messages are consistent. But sometimes you read them and you go, doesn't sound, we're free. No, well, you're free. You're free from sin, death, and hell. That's what you're free from.
Right.
But that doesn't give you a license to practice those things that are sinful.
Yeah, and the Apostle Paul says, may it never be. That's not what grace is for.
But some, unfortunately, in the Christian community preach a very cheap grace.
And that's why we go actually into the public square. That's one of the reasons we go into public places.
So we're almost out of time here. Sure. So let me just ask this. So how effective is this? You're in the Bible Belt, as we've mentioned. You guys have discussed, you know, a lot of times people are inoculated against the gospel because, yeah, I've heard all that Jesus stuff before. So how successful is it, more or less successful, in your opinion, preaching this real gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit to convict, as you mentioned, the laws of God? Is it more successful or less successful than 25, 30, 50 years ago, as far as you can tell?
If you use a standard of what God says success is, it's 100% successful. God's standard is that His word will not return void. It will accomplish what He purposes for it. A friend of mine said a quote that I'll give him credit for, Tony Miano, though it wasn't original to him. Someone asked him, how many people have you led to Christ in public preaching? And he said, all of them. Every person I meet, I lead them to the foot of the cross, and I leave them there in the hands of a sovereign God.
Yeah.
Public preaching, if your intention is to glorify God and lift up the name of Christ, it's 100% effective. The response that people give or don't give, That's between them and the Lord, ultimately.
Good. I like that.
Well, yeah. We've been talking to Paul Harvey and Mark Williams from Huntsville, Alabama. They're with a ministry called Ephesians 4:12. You can go find them on the internet at Ephesians 4:12.org.
Yes.
And, gentlemen, thanks for driving over.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Being on with us. Appreciate it. And appreciate what you're doing and what you're trying to help the church understand. And God bless you.
And right. keep us informed about what's going on in Huntsville. Because now that we've increased the power to the whole city.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that because I could only get you going north, but now I can go east and south and still
have
get
you
the
noticed?
Station.
Have you noticed the power upgrade?
No, last time I listened was yesterday. So when's the last time you upped the power?
Well, we need to talk about that because you should be able to listen much better than you did, say, a month ago there.
I may just need a new antenna.
Yeah.
Well, that could work too. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Thank you very much. And Lord bless you as you guys do this very important work. Continue doing it.
God bless you, too.
God bless you.
Hey, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, I want to play a clip now from yesterday's press conference with David Brown, the police chief of Dallas. The police chief of Dallas, Texas, who I've been extremely impressed with ever since I first saw him on Friday. Was it Thursday night? Thursday night,
after the shootings.
When things blew up there in Dallas with the shootings.
Terrible.
Metaphorically, yeah. I'm saying. But began to watch this guy, police chief of Dallas, and was really impressed with how he handled himself. And he had a press conference yesterday. He's been having them daily, you know, in the aftermath of the tragic shootings in Dallas that killed five police officers at the Black Lives Matter march. Ironically, the police were protecting the march, the protesters of police in Dallas.
Right.
And they were, even though nothing had happened in Dallas.
Right.
With the police.
Yeah, the most recent examples have been Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then a little town, city outside of Twin Cities area, Falcon Heights,
Well, the two incidents where the men had died, the black men had died at the hands of police officers.
Yes.
And those cases are still being investigated.
Right.
By the way, it takes time to find out exactly what happened in those cases. And you can't just react. You just can't draw a complete conclusion by watching a video footage of anything. You have to wait until all the facts are gathered. But some people don't. They just react on what they see and make a decision based on that. So these folks came out and marched in Dallas 2 or 3 days after those incidents happened in Baton Rouge in Minnesota, the Black Lives Matter march. But anyway, I was really impressed with what David Brown, the chief of police of Dallas, said yesterday, and I wanted to play that. Go ahead.
I'm able to stand here and discuss this with you is a testament to God's grace and his sweet, tender mercies, just to be quite honest with you, because what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish here is above challenging. It is. We're asking cops to do too much in this country. We are. We're just asking us to do too much. Every societal failure, we put it off on the cops to solve. Not enough mental health funding. Let the cop handle it. Not enough drug addiction funding. Let's give it to the cops. Here in Dallas, we got a loose dog problem. That's how the cops chase loose dogs. Schools fail. Give it to the cops. 70% of the African American community is being raised by single women. Let's give it to the cops to solve that as well. That's too much to ask. Policing was never meant to solve all those problems. And I just ask for other parts of our democracy, along with the free press, to help us. To help us. And not put that burden all on law enforcement to resolve.
Well, he also went on to, that's David Brown, the chief of police of Dallas. He also went on to say that for the protesters, he said, why don't you job us? Why don't you help us? He said, we're hiring. He said, we're hiring police officers here. If you really want to be a part of a solution, why don't you join our police force?
And if you think it's easy.
That's what he was saying. That's one of the things that he was saying. He didn't say that. I don't know if he said that, but that, you know, I'm glad he's given this national platform because he's right. We have the societal breakdown in many ways, and the last line, as Newt Gingrich said the other night, the last line of defense between civilization and anarchy are police.
Right.
And what's happened is we've reached the last line. Because society is breaking down. And the reason society is breaking down is because society is rebelling against God's laws.
Right.
And his moral order. And one of the main ways that's happening is the breakdown of the family unit. Because the family unit is supposed to teach children how to behave. And then they grow up to be adults. They become part of a civilized society.
Because kids who are taught to behave become adults who behave.
Well, that's what God's plan.
Right.
And what happens is, he was talking about 70% of African-American children are born without a dad in the home.
Right.
And he was citing that. doesn't just have to be African-American. Can be any race. When that happens, you're going to see a breakdown of that culture.
Right.
And I think that's what he was saying. You know, there are some things here, Ed, and we want to talk about her. There are some things here. I was thinking about this the other day that are universally applicable to a good life.
Yes.
And I'm not going to write a book on this, but I probably could come to think of it.
Right.
But there's about three or four things that are within the grasp of every human being in America that could set you on a path for a pretty good life.
Right.
I was thinking about these. They keep talking about the African-American males, you know, that are getting in trouble from ages 15 to 30. You know, that's the demographic that seems to be incarcerated, in trouble with the law, you know.
And they're coming in contact with police.
Yeah, they don't have dads in their home.
Right.
So
their odds are increased.
Their odds are increased that they're going to be a part of gangs, drop out of school. Not that single moms can't do a wonderful job loving them and raising them.
And many are acting heroically to raise their children. But
that doesn't change the fact
that
generally speaking, the principle is true if you don't have that you need two parents raising children. That's just...
The biological mother and father are optimal.
That's
what social science says.
Right. So you're going to have your exceptions where kids get through that, but by and large, that's going to lead to problems. But I was thinking, you know what? If the three things I can think of, if you could teach a kid, obey the law,
right?
Obey the law. Number two, get an education. Those two things are within your grasp,
right?
Of everyone. I don't care if you're from a single-parent family.
Right.
But those two things are attainable, right? Have I asked anything that's unreasonable of anybody?
No.
Get an education, obey the law, and don't be promiscuous.
Right.
Those three things, you practice those three things alone.
You've got a foot up.
You got a chance at a good life. Not everything's going to go rosy necessarily.
Right.
You get an education, you don't be promiscuous, and you obey the law.
And the promiscuous is so you don't have children out of wedlock,
right?
Who will then be raised in single parent,
right? And you perpetuate the cycle,
right,
of poverty. Okay, so those three things are within any white, black, Asian, Hispanic kid can be taught. You do those things, you got a pretty good shot here.
Yeah.
At a decent life.
And you put the foundation, those three things upon the foundation of family.
Yes.
Okay. And church, so that they're taught God's laws.
Right.
To obey God's laws. Now you've got a biblical recipe for success.
Amen.
All things being equal.
Amen. Yeah. So I just thought, you know, people say, well, it's a hopeless situation for these kids in the inner city. And I was thinking, no, it's not. No, that's not.
You ought to write at least a column on that.
It's not a hopeless situation. If it were a hopeless situation, then how did David Brown make it?
Right. The police chief in Dallas.
How did he make it? He came out of the inner city.
Yeah.
There are many examples of people who raised in the inner city or in the hood, as they say. Dr. Ben Carson being another.
Abe Hamilton, who works here with us.
Yeah.
He grew up, he even said it. I grew up in the hood, about as hood as you can get.
Right.
But his parents, okay, both
parents,
mom and dad. And they said, you're not going to do that, and you're going to succeed in school.
They insisted he get an education.
That's right.
He go to church. He was raised right. And that's just, it makes all the difference in the world. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right. You want to welcome our next?
Yeah, two guys who are not strangers to our AFR listening audience. Buddy Smith, who's AFA Senior Vice President, and Jeff Shambly, who's Director of American Family Studios. Guys, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you.
It's always good to have you guys here with us. Buddy, why don't you talk a little bit? Tim and I have already talked about Together We Will Be Heard, America Cannot Wait. Why don't you
That's
tell our
theme.
Listeners?
It's
That's
not-
our theme.
It's not you and I saying together we will,
right.
we will be. We're not.
We will be.
We're going to sing We Are Family.
Right. That isn't our new song that you and I did together. That's our theme.
Together we will be heard.
We get it in. We got it.
Wow.
Yeah, we got it.
Want to make sure.
Don't get him in the studio.
Less
Jeff.
Is more.
Just leave him out.
But anyway.
Less is more. Ouch. And silence is even better.
Can we reset?
Yes. Go ahead.
The theme of today and of this campaign, America cannot wait, which is our second annual America Cannot Wait campaign.
One day only.
The theme of that is together
we will be heard.
And by that we mean the listeners and supporters of AFAFR, Christian community, together we will be heard. Right, buddy?
Absolutely. We know our nation is in just serious trouble on almost every front. We're at a crossroads, and that's probably the understatement of the year. And there's only one way out of this. You guys,
I think we're going to have to turn around, buddy.
Yes,
your crossroads. I hear what you're saying.
Around.
I think we've taken the wrong road.
Yeah,
and we're
going
to have to turn around. Don't you think?
Good point. You're right. You're right. And that's what repentance means. It's a 180.
Right.
We need to go God's direction and not away from God. And that's the whole problem here. And some of that erosion has come about because the authority of the Bible is just being questioned and being denied. And not only externally from those outside the church, but we know even some from within. So we have prayed about this situation, and Jeff will certainly say more than I will about it, but one of the projects that the Lord just placed clearly on our hearts is this need for a documentary, a full-length documentary about the God who speaks, reaffirming biblical authority. You know, the good news is that God is not silent about all that's going on. He has spoken from eternity, and he has given us that revelation in his holy word. And so we're at a time that holy word needs to be reinforced, it needs to be heard, it needs to be shouted from the housetops. And so we're very excited about this full-length feature film, and I'll pitch it over to Jeff and
tell him more about that. American, just to be clear, American Family Studios, Jeff, which you head up, that's a division of AFA, like AFR is.
That's right.
So it's our media division. So you guys, everybody just talked about, have you create product and materials and videos to help the body of Christ.
Correct, yes.
That's our mission, basically, in different various ways. Mm-hmm. What Buddy's talking about is The God Who Speaks. That's the title of the new documentary. What is that going to be about?
Yeah, it's a feature-length documentary, which means it's going to be around 100 minutes. It could be shown in theaters and churches and so forth. It's reaffirming the truth of the Bible. I mean, you know, we talk about all of these issues. There are so many issues in our world, in the family, in the church. It all gets back to one thing. It's a sin problem.
Right.
And in the Bible is the solution to that problem. It's the revelation of the Son of God who came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So what we want to do is give the church a tool to have confidence that when they open the Bible, they have not the word of men, but they have an authoritative word of God. And so we are inviting pastors and scholars and theologians to be a part of this. We're really excited about the lineup. We're interviewing Josh McDowell day after tomorrow in Washington. Alistair Begg, Norman Geisler, Erwin Lutzer, John MacArthur, Al Mohler, R.C. Sproul, Jerry Vines, John Oswalt, and many, many more of the cream of the crop of the people to speak to the authority of the Bible so the church can have this great
time. Well, if the Bible isn't true, there's no point in us being here.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Right now, talking. Yeah.
Exactly. And underneath all the other problems we're having has been the assault on the truth of God's word.
Yes.
Because God does speak.
Yes.
And we've ignored, we've blocked up our ears for so long, now we are reaping the consequences. Buddy, what we're asking people to do is, and Tim and I mentioned at the top of the hour, the radio expansion that's a part of this America mm-hmm. Cannot Wait 2.0, if you will,
right.
This one-day effort to ask our listeners on American Family Radio. AFA Journal readers have already been reading about this. They've been giving. Our monthly letter has mentioned this. So this is the day we give for the radio listeners to give to this attempt to expand the voice of Christian America. So, folks, the expansion for American Family Radio will allow us to reach an additional 2.5 million people. The areas include Baton Rouge in New Orleans, Louisiana, Corpus Christi, Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, Huntsville and Montgomery, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, as well as this feature-length documentary, The God Who Speaks. We are asking you to give. Today is the only day we're doing this. Here's the number to call if you want to give, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. For a gift of $10 or more, you'll get what we're calling the Patriot Pack, which is simply a set of five copies of the film A Time to Speak. American Family Studios, mm-hmm. Jeff, produced this. Tell our listeners a little bit about what that film is about.
Yeah, it deals with the status of religious liberty in America. It takes a hard look at what has happened, what trajectory are we on, and where are we going to go if something doesn't change. Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, several other people, authoritative voices speaking to the issue.
We the Christian community, have to be engaged.
Yes.
We can't stick our heads in the sand and wish this all would go away. Because I'm going to tell you something, we do that and our freedoms will go away.
Yes.
We may win, we may lose, but if you don't fight, you don't have a chance.
That's right.
And
you got to get on the field.
So only God knows what the future holds, but he expects us to do what we can mm-hmm. to fight for our religious freedom. And you don't do that in a vacuum. You do that because it means whether or not you'll be free to share the gospel,
exactly,
and spread the gospel. And you want to do that in a place of freedom,
right?
Thank the Lord, our forefathers, our founding fathers, had religious freedom at the top of their list
because first, first freedom.
Yeah, they know what it meant to live under religious persecution. You don't want that,
right?
You don't want that. So, folks, we're asking you to help us. This isn't, we're not going to go on and on with this. It's just one day, one donation. That's all this is. And please call and make a gift to help us here. America Cannot Wait campaign. And you can call this phone number and make a gift to help us. 877-616-2396. This is a tax deductible donation. We're a 501c3 ministry. There's the phone number, 877-616-2396, or you can give online at afr.net, afr.net. Buddy Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tim. Thanks, Ed. Guys.
Ed and I shall return after the break. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.